When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show. I'm super, super excited to have my next guest. I just met Alex Salmon, who is the president and CEO of Peepers, but I've been a big fan of his product and just amazed to hear more about his company that he is running. And again, the company is Peepers. It's a fourth generation family run brand that we're going to hear a lot more about. If you are not familiar with it, they're the really, really cool glasses, which did not start out as glasses, reinvented glasses in the reading, blue light, and sun categories. But I can't wait to get into more of this terrific family-built legacy and how, more than anything, how they've maintained and grown into the company that they are today. So welcome, Alec.
Oh my God, thank you so much, Kara. It's such a pleasure to be here. I can't wait to, share anything and everything that I have.
Super excited to have you here. So Alec just got back from Italy's little jet lag. So we're super happy to have him here. And so I won't offer any trick questions. How about that?
That would be great.
So tell us the story behind Peepers. You and I started to talk a little bit about this, that it didn't start out. You obviously weren't here in the 1950s, but it didn't start out as what we see today.
No. Yeah. So it's a fourth generation family run company. Over the years, I mean, started off in the early 1900s, believe it or not, as a screen cloth provider. It started off in San Francisco, moved to Japan. My great, great grandfather sold screen cloth to when it was an outbreak, and they would sell these screen cloths to protect people from mosquitoes as they slept overnight. Crazy. Fast forward to the 50s, they started selling scissors and cutlery. When I joined in 2010, we still were selling scissors. It was probably about 10% of our business, but we were at that moment in time, Peepers had already been launched, but we had distribution when we were selling scissors to pharmacies and drugstores. And my father, we had a mutual accountant. There was a company in Michigan City, Indiana called C8 Optical, and they sold really ugly reading glasses as well as optical accessories and eyewear accessories. And he bolted it onto the distribution that he had with the scissors, and it worked. And it made sense. We had, it had some momentum. It wasn't until my mom became of age in 1993 where she said to my father, Paul, these glasses are hideous. I want something a little bit more fun to wear. And so she worked, he was like, fine, let's work with our factories. Let's find some, updated fun designs. She designed some, we got the samples. My dad said, firm no, Terry, like these are crazy. We're never going to be able to sell these. And so she said, fine, I'll take the samples. I love them. So she wore them around town, went to the grocery stores, church, wherever, and she got stopped. Where'd you get those glasses? And she's like, Paul, I think we've got something. They went to, so he gave her $5,000. They went to the Chicago Merchandise Mart back when the mart was huge. Like that mm-hmm. used to be one of the largest retail and wholesale shows in the world. It's now in Atlanta, but it's, so she went to that show. didn't know what she was doing. She had one frame, five colorways. She had just a plain table with like a tablecloth, and she sold in 3 days, $35,000 worth of glasses. And she came back and she goes, Paul, I think we've got something. And then, so Peepers was born. And that was, so that was in 1993. And then fast forward to 2000. So the deal my parents had with us, my sister and I, I went to Culver Military Academy, which is about an hour away from here. Never lost a haircut. But we both graduated from Indiana University. My dad said, if you want to join the family business, you have to have at least 5 years of experience. You're not just going to join the family business. You have to go get experience, join companies, bring something back to the family business that we could leverage, use, you know, obviously make us a better business. So that was the deal. So I joined a company in Chicago called CDW. It was an inside sales technology, dialing for dollars sales job. I hated it. Turned out to be pretty good at it though. And so I stayed there for 9 years, and then, I joined my sister. She joined in 2008. I joined in 2010, and we worked together for 2 years to see if we could work together, my sister and I, before we bought the business in 2012, January of 2012 is when we bought the business. But I will, but working in a family business, I mean, obviously, you know, fourth generation, I think it's less than 1% in the country, if not the world, that actually get to four generations. My father only had one sister. He bought the shares from his sister, and he ran the business that way, on his own. But it was, but it almost didn't happen. And almost the third generation almost did not make it. My father was a pilot for TWA. For 17 years. And when he joined the business, he was on furlough from TWA. So they were having, I mean, there was a reduction in flights or whatever else. And so he was like, okay, I'm going to maybe try this working for the family business. His father, my grandfather, who I never met, but they started to work together, and my dad wanted to implement technology. He was kind of a techie. The IBM had just launched maybe their first PC. This is in the early 70s. So this is like 71, 72. And, as they were working together, his father was like, Paul, if it's not broke, we're not going to fix it. We're not going to try to implement new things when we don't need to. And he just got super frustrated. And he was like, fine, you know, he goes, Dad, this doesn't make sense anymore. Like, I'm going to go back to flying. I love flying. You're not letting me implement any of the ideas, that I want to help grow the business. And so they got in a fight. And he left. He flew back to Kansas City. On his flight back to Kansas City, his father drove himself to the hospital. My grandfather drove himself to the hospital. He had a heart attack and passed away. Horrible, horrible. Like, but I will say this. So this is one of the main things that when we joined the family business, my dad was such a supporter. He goes, if it makes sense, we're going to try it. Like, it had to make a little bit of sense, but he was such a catalyst to helping us drive new ideas and just reinvent ourselves to create what we have today. So, I mean, if I had to fight with him on just implementing new technologies, new ideas, I don't think we would have been able to evolve as quickly and as diligently as we have. And it was, so, I mean, as soon as I got in the door, I just started to understand, you know, the competitive landscape, because I literally knew nothing about reading glasses. I was in my early 30s joining a reading glass company where I had just sold technology to Fortune 500 companies. You know, All I knew was how to connect with people, right? So that's, so just learning about the industry, how was I going to compete? You know, going over to China and Taiwan and meeting with our factories and understanding how they were developing the products. And that's what, so I was just in Milan. The largest optical show in the world is called Mido. And it's just on the outskirts of Milan. So we were there meeting with our factories. We had seven team members there trending. And so we get inspiration from those shows like none other. And so that's, it's just one of the most important things that we do as a brand, to just stay relevant on trend and continue to offer the best products that we can.
How often have you thought about learning a new language only to be stopped by that memory of yours from the last time you tried to learn a language when it didn't go so well? Okay, maybe it wasn't a language that you were interested in learning, or perhaps all those poorly written textbooks in your sixth grade class weren't that well written after all. I have a great tip for you. It's called Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program around, available on desktop or app. No matter where you choose to learn it or what platform you choose to learn on, Rosetta Stone works, and it truly immerses you in the language you choose to learn, quicker and easier than you ever imagined to. Maybe you're getting ready to travel abroad this summer and you want to learn a bit of Portuguese, let's say, before your trip. Rosetta Stone can help. I know this firsthand as I did just this before traveling to Portugal last year. I learned Portuguese through Rosetta Stone, and by doing so, I not only got a better grasp of the spoken language of Portugal, but it got me very excited for the trip itself before I went. They even have a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation as you are learning too. They've got you covered. Rosetta Stone's trusted experts are the real deal. They've been helping people just like you for over 30 years, helping millions of people to learn Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and my favorite, Portuguese. The lessons are 5 to 10 minutes long and include practical exercises so that you can pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. No English translations either, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language you are focused on, helping you get the long-term retention you are looking for. And who wouldn't want that? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Kara Golden Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. In today's world, which I will admit can at times seem filled with too much of the wrong information, it's essential to find a good source that truly gets to the heart of what I want to know. I am super excited about our next sponsor, as I've been a big fan of their content for some time now. That sponsor is The Washington Post. Their depth on topics from business to tech isn't just impressive, it's essential reading for me. Whether I'm catching up on the latest tech trends or understanding how the day's news truly impacts my family, The Washington Post is my trusted source. Let's talk specifics. Their business and tech coverage, absolutely top-notch. Just imagine having the most insightful articles at your fingertips, including the unparalleled AI reporting from Drew Harwell or the pulse on tech and online culture from Taylor Lorenz. And the best part? You can listen to articles just like you listen to this podcast, making it perfect for your busy lifestyle. I was just reading an article from one of my favorite Washington Post writers, Frances Stead Sellers. She covers entrepreneurs like myself, but also covers other interesting topics, including health, as well as some very interesting books. I also love getting their For You newsletter, which is their roundup of stories tailored just for my interests, right in my inbox every evening. The Washington Post app is super well done, I think. It makes it incredibly easy to stay up to date and follow my favorite journalists on the go. And if you ever thought that the Washington Post is just about politics, think again. They cover everything under the sun, from climate and culture to crosswords and cooking, providing a world of surprising stories and vital insights. Okay, enough of the love fest that I have for the Washington Post. Here's the deal. Being a listener of the Kara Golden Show has its benefits, and this one is too good to miss. Now is the time to sign up for the Washington Post. Go to washingtonpost.com/Kara Golden to subscribe for just 50 cents per week for your first year. That's 80% off their typical offer. So this is truly a steal. Once again, that's washingtonpost.com /Kara Golden to subscribe for just 50 cents per week for your first year.
So
that's amazing.
Long-winded answer.
No, I love it. So in the early days, very different company, not focused on eyewear at all. So was it still called Peepers?
No, it just Sam & Company. Yep. It was Sam & Company for, yeah, generations. And then it was probably in 2015, we decided to just make a change and our identity was Peepers. So yeah, it just changed.
And so when you got into the business, mm-hmm. you and your sister, mm-hmm. you're running the company, what was the state of kind of eyewear overall? Like, not inexpensive, because you're not inexpensive, but it's like, you know, the reading glasses. Now you guys are everywhere. You're in hotels. You're in grocery stores. I mean, you're in lots of amazing places, online, et cetera. But, what was the state at that time? And what was your goal to kind of change in this category?
That's a really good question. So when I joined the business, I mean, we were a pretty small company. I think I was like the seventh team member when I first joined. So, I mean, we were small. It was just coming out of the financial crisis. The business was going down. I had first, when I negotiated, you know, my deal with my dad joining the family business, I was doing fairly well, and then coming over to the family business, and then maybe 2 weeks after I had given my notice to CDW, he called me. He was like, "We're gonna have to cut your salary a little bit more." Like, things just continued to go down. It wasn't as omnichannel as it is now. Like, back then, it was either you were pretty much, the way to get your products out there was still very much, you had to go to these shows. It was very much a wholesale market. There were a ton of smaller competitors. The biggest player that we competed against, at least in the gift world, was ICU. And then obviously Foster Grant, which is owned by Luxottica Essilor. I mean, they're the 500, you know, they're the 800 pound gorilla in this space. And I have a lot of good friends over there too. So they're a great company. It's, but they, the landscape is changed so much. I mean, I used to get beat up while I was at the shows trying to promote our product and get into more retailers. The fact that we had a website, they absolutely hated it. They couldn't believe that we were selling mm-hmm. direct to their end consumer just as they were. It was 80% of our business back then, though, because my dad, being the techie, mm-hmm. he started peeperspecs.com. It was back in 1996. I mean, we were one of the first websites out there. We had developed a decent amount of e-commerce revenue, and that's what saved us. I mean, that's what kept this company afloat. I started to take that, at least the margin that we could make on the consumer direct side, I could use to continue to leverage and grow the wholesale side of the business. So I really focused on growing wholesale, but that it also grows our direct to consumer business as well. It's customers like to try on the glasses. They like to see what it looks like on their face. They like to, I'm not giving a thumbs up. I like to, you know, do those things where they also will try to, you know, if maybe a wholesaler doesn't have the strength that they want at the store, they potentially may buy it online. So they both interact with each other. We're in about 6,000 accounts now nationwide, and that's just accounts. We have many more doors than that. And it's just changed so rapidly. You know, in our space, there is the dollar store, you've got then Peepers, then I would say you've got, you know, then you have, you know, $100 to $150 frames, and then on up. So it's a very interesting marketplace, but we do have so many different channels, and having those different channels really helped us through COVID. You know, everything just changed overnight. But the thing that also is interesting too is, as we've grown the business, I mean, we're in Michigan City, Indiana. It's a thriving metropolis of like 38,000 people. It's an hour outside of Chicago. It's very steel. It's a very steel focused area. Steel mills. I mean, they're still one of the largest steel mills in the country. Is right down the road. So there's a lot of steel fabrication companies. And now we have a fashion eyewear company. I had to learn fairly quickly to surround myself with the right people that I needed to hire across the United States. So if I needed to fill a role, whether that was for merchandising or e-commerce or product development, I knew I needed to look outside of this area to be able to support the growth. And so the majority of our leadership team is remote. But obviously, I mean, with technology nowadays, it doesn't matter. It just does not matter. Yeah. So we've been able to grow and scale. And so and when COVID hit, I mean, we were, all the technology was already in place to be able to shift remote overnight. And that really helped us. We had just built our distribution center. We had our own warehouse for a number of years. We were outpacing the growth. We had redesigned the space that we had 4 different times. And then we had to move to a 3PL. A third-party logistics player that was in Elgin, Illinois, about 2 hours away. So we made that shift for about 4 years. And then it became very apparent to me that I like to control things. I like to the last mile, that's what they like to call the last mile of the pick, pack, and shipping, of just getting it right. And as we scaled into larger wholesalers, the value add is a huge key component to making sure that we can continue to compete, as well as just making it very simplistic and easy for these retailers to accept our product, to get it on the racks and get it sold to their consumers. So we had built our distribution center and able to control that during COVID too. I mean, it was massive. And right now we're doing a 32,000 square foot expansion. The roof is almost done. And we just continue to, put ourselves in a place that, you know, we can continue to compete and obviously just look at new ways that we can be more efficient in doing so. So
as you mentioned, you started direct to consumer in 1996. But you guys have definitely taken an omnichannel approach to the business. What has been probably the most difficult aspect? You talked about COVID, but like, what do you think is like the hardest thing that hopefully you don't lose sleep, especially after you've been away and you have some jet lag and you have a birthday to go to and all of those things. But what is it that's like, what's hard about your business?
Wow, that's a very good question. You know, as we grow, it's culture is so important to me. And as we now have team members in 10 different states, and just trying to balance and keeping, you know, everyone energized, motivated, feeling connected to what we're doing is something that I'm just super passionate about. I do these things called Friday news emails. Every Friday, I just send out a newsletter that just, it could be short. It could be just, you know, very like, hey, we just, you know, came from the show. We connected with so many customers. We did this and that, or it's maybe something a little bit more motivational, where I'll talk about imposter syndrome and how I struggle with that, and how I know so many people struggle with those sorts of things. And so I just try to keep connected in any way that I can to make people just, you know, continue to do, if they feel connected, if they feel supported, if I give them the right resources, if I give them the right tools, we will grow this thing together. The one thing that I will say that's passed generation to generation to generation is that if you invest in the business and if you take care of the business will take care of you. I know it sounds so simplistic, but it's something that I lean into every single day. You know, as we've grown, I've grown less into the more like day-to-day operations and more into, you know, just coaching, visionary, where are we going as a company? And it's, you know, I'm learning how to play that role within this company, but it's something that I'm learning also. I just, you know, where can I remove landmines, roadblocks, things that are just causing issues that I can make it more seamless and just get the job done that they want, that they see. Because these are the, like my leadership team, they're the experts. They're going to know way more than I do about what the challenges are. And if I can just, you know, again, remove landmines and figure out ways that they can do their job better and more effectively, we're going to win. I've surrounded myself with people. This team loves to win. Our e-commerce manager, Ariel, she always says it sucks to suck, so let's not suck. And I love that. I mean, it's just,
I love that.
So it's just, these are like the little mantras that sit and I, so as we grow, it's, you know, we're competing with a lot of private equity. I will say that in the eyewear space, it is. And I know every, I would say channel, every area within the world is challenged with some of those things. We're a fourth generation family company and we have to be profitable. We have to grow. We have to, you know, do those things that, you know, some other, and I know money now is a little bit different. Getting access to capital is a lot different than it used to be. And so I think those are some of those things that we're, you know, I'd like to think that we're in a very good space to continue to compete and grow, and not carry, you know, the debt or not carry some of the things that, you know, maybe keeping other businesses up at night. So, but yeah, that is most of our main competitors are owned by private equity or very large, publicly traded companies. And so those are things that, you know, just as we continue to grow, access to capital definitely is something that we always, you know, we're thinking about. But we've been able to grow smart and in a way that is, that allows us to grow safe, safe and smart and go after things that aren't, you know, just, you know, crazy. We're not taking, you know, huge chances. And I think the brand equity that we've built has allowed us to do those things.
So when you think about this consumer, and obviously there's competition, what I've learned from growing my own brand, it's you can't really do that much about competition. You hate having them there, especially in the beginning.
Yeah.
But they make you better, right? 100%. They keep you on your toes. They make you, you know, like check things like quality, pricing, how you go to market, all of those things. So when you think about staying connected with your consumer, I would imagine I have multiple pairs of peepers.
You
also sent me a couple too, which is amazing. Thank you. But like, I would imagine that people typically don't just settle for one peeper. Right.
Yeah.
Like you've got people want them in different styles. Gone are the days where you want, you know, the cheap gold ones that are just right.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you want stuff that's fun, that matches your outfit or is opposite your outfit. I don't know, whatever it is. But how do you stay close to your consumer?
That's a very good question. We just hired a new VP of brand. And we're working on doing consumer insight studies of just getting a much better handle of understanding who our customer is, doing customer surveys, understanding their wants, their needs. We stay connected through our customer experience team. Our customer experience team is right outside this door. And every month they compile a list of all of the top requests from our customers. Any quality control issue, I mean, we receive from our customers. We take pictures. We then, you know, send it to our QC team to understand, is this a repetitive issue? I mean, where there's so many steps in the process that, that allow us to stay connected to the customer. But this is also, I mean, on the wholesale side, our trade shows. I still go to all of our major trade shows. I've built so many good relationships with our customers, and it's so important for me to talk with them as they're writing orders with our sales team and get an understanding of what challenges that they're seeing at retail. You know, what would they love to see differently? What are other brands that they carry that they absolutely love? Why do they love the process, or why do they love the experience? And then if it's a good idea, I'm going to incorporate it into our company, into our brand. It is, Yeah, I mean, we are constantly looking at, as we evolve and we're growing our Sun business as well. So we're now starting to introduce our brand to slightly younger customers, or potentially slightly younger customers. And we want, our vision is to introduce them as they get into their early to mid 30s, is to have a brand that they already know and trust and love. And as they grow into needing readers, they already know where to go. So that's a, mm-hmm. a very, you know, that's a very, it sounds very, it sounds great. And simplistic, but it's, we've got a long way to go. It's something that we're very focused on that as well. But yeah, we're the analytics as well from having such a strong e-commerce side of the business has given us a ton of insight. But as I think anyone listening to this, you know, consumer privacy and all of those wonderful things, it makes it tougher. It makes it tougher to understand mm-hmm. who's buying our products, where are they coming from, how did they initially find us? You know, all of those things continue to make it challenging. But then, you know, some other company sprouts up and figures out a way for us to figure out how to connect with customers as well.
Okay, so consumer stories are so valuable. And I always tell people that those consumer stories are the ones that probably keep you curious, but also keep you going. Any fun consumer stories where you, you know, just couldn't make this one up, that people tell you, you know, that they have 100 pairs of peepers or anything fun like that?
So peepers, when you say the word peepers, it's not, and when I say that I work at a company peepers, they're always like relieved after I say it's eyewear. And they're like, oh, okay. So we were peeperspecs.com in 1996. We bought the URL peepers.com from a company that was based out in London. And they were using it for something other than eyewear. And you can let your imagination go wherever you want, but that is, we used to have people that would call in and they would say, they would like warn us. They're like, please, if you have customers, tell them not to go to peepers.com. Those are not great consumer stories. Other consumer stories, there's better ones. Now that I'm thinking about it. We have retailers that carry, they have a display for every single strength that we carry. I mean, they have 12 different displays, literally going down their hall or down their aisleways of peepers. We have customers. I probably get a letter or two every week from consumers telling me how much they love our glasses, but that they would love, you know, some certain style back. We have customers that call and tell us, you know, that this is their personality. This is like who they are. Like this frame is iconic to who they are and how people see them and how they show up. And if we discontinue that item, it's devastating. I mean, it feels like it's devastating to them and to their identity. And we have customers that sometimes we have to check, is this a legit order? They'll buy, you know, 10 frames, the exact same frame, the exact same strength, and send it to, you know, 5 different areas. And we're like, what? And it's literally people that have 5 different homes, and they literally are sending their glasses so they can outfit all of their rooms with glasses. I mean, it is, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, we have customers that will buy 2 to 3 pairs every month. We have customers that, I mean, some of our best customers, you'd be shocked at how much they spend with us every single year. I mean, it's absolutely remarkable. But I'm 46 now. I'm just getting to the space where I need readers. And it is,
yeah,
it's not fun. It is not fun needing reading glasses. But it's also now I'm just starting to get connected even more to the product, even more so than I already am. So it's kind of a fun journey.
What is the strength that everybody, what's the top seller in strengths?
150 and then 2. Those are neck and neck every single year. Plus 150 and 2 are by far our top 2 selling strengths. And then it goes to 250 and then it goes to 125. And so, but yeah, that's, But I am I'm starting at a one, and it's great and it's perfect and I love it. But it's shocking. And everyone is now starting to make fun of me because my font on my iPhone is too big. But I don't care. It's fine.
Yeah, I love it. So last question. So when you think about running a company and growing a company, I mean, in many ways, mm-hmm. you're not the founder of this company, yep. but you blew up for mm-hmm. sort of what you were doing and
yeah.
pivoted, changed a lot of things in the company. So I kind of think of you as a founder in many, many ways, and the direction of the company and sort of the growth of the company changed significantly. So when you think about starting a company and maybe acting as a mentor to other founders that are thinking about starting a company and sort of knowing too about the other generations and kind of what they had been through, what would you say is like the key thing that you would say to somebody who's thinking about starting a company, somebody who's just getting going and is having a crappy day and thinking, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. And, what would you say?
What would I say? There's so many lessons that I've learned, over the years that, you know, that I could probably, take into consideration answering this. I don't take myself too seriously. I like to laugh. I like to have fun. I like to, I always joke that there's no crying at peepers. I don't like to protect the policy or, do something, if it's just going to put a smile on a customer's face. And so I empower all of our team members to make those decisions on my behalf, so that they act like an owner. If you call our customer experience team, you're never going to get, "Let me talk to my manager." They have the power to do whatever it takes to take care of the customer. But I learned that the hard way. You know, I had team members that tried to protect a policy and ultimately a customer made them cry but if you take care of some of those customers that really push you to your limit, they will then become your biggest advocates. As tough of an experience that they put you through, if you take care of them, they will take care of you in the long run. But culture is so important. But investing, I mean, the lifelong lesson that I do lean into is, if you take care of the business will take care of you. And that's just continuing to invest in your company and invest in the people. And that's really taken me a very long way. God, but there's so much I could add to that. I mean, I just could continue to go, but we don't have that as much time.
No, but that's terrific. And I think it's fun to learn from you. We'll have to have you back on. You can share some of those on the next. So, Alec Salmon, President and CEO of Peepers, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all about the company that you are building and continuing on, and really appreciate your lessons and wisdom and what a great product. So definitely, if you have not grabbed a pair of Peepers, even if you don't really need them, you can go for those 1.0s and see what happens, right? It's super great. So thanks again, Alec.
Thank you so much, Kara. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Thanks again for listening to the Kara Golden Show. If you would, please give us a review and feel free to share this podcast with others who would benefit. And of course, feel free to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of our podcast. Just a reminder that I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. I would love to hear from you too, so feel free to DM me. And if you want to hear more about my journey, I hope you will have a listen or pick up a copy of my Wall Street Journal best-selling book, Undaunted, where I share more about my journey, including founding and building Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.